Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. With me today, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm so glad that we both survived Worldwide Developer Conference and AltConf, and it was so great to get to hang out with you.
It was so much fun to be able to sit with you in person.
It was awesome. And I don't know if I should elaborate on this or not, but I'm going to say it was really exciting wearing your cape. Yeah, I think I'm not going to elaborate on
that. No, we're good.
Yeah, don't elaborate at all. Speaking of good, John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm here without a cape.
Yeah,
good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, John. You know people. We can fix this.
I was going to say that very thing, but I figured I'd stop because I knew you'd want to tell John good morning, and you were probably going to drop the line. So
you know people, John. We can put your capeless days to an end.
Yeah. John, you would rock a cape.
You really would.
I remember when I was little, I was watching Superman. I would get a towel and a safety pin. I would create a mock cape and jump off the steps and land on my 2 feet. It was all of up 12 inches. I thought I was leaving a tall building, of course.
Well, yeah, in a single bound.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, I did the same.
First, I want to tell everyone, hey, we have a sponsor today, and it's LinkedIn Jobs, and that's awesome. Really awesome. And I'll talk about more about them soon. But John, I'm going to share with you, and of course, all of our listeners, a story that my dad told me once. And he was a boy, and he had watched Superman. And so he took a towel, or probably a towel, and turned it into a cape, and climbed up on the roof of the house, because he was certain he could fly just like Superman. And so my grandma, his mom, she's in the kitchen, like at the sink or something, and looking out the window, and all she sees is this streak of color as my dad just drops straight to the ground.
One of those British backgrounds.
Oh, no.
British background sight gags.
Yeah, it was totally like that. And so when Dad was telling me this story, and he's laughing. This was years ago, because my grandma was still alive, and she was there. And she got so upset. She says, "You have no idea how much you scared me. You're lucky that your father is a doctor." And then she turns to me and she says, "Jeffrey, don't you ever do that. Your father was a foolish boy." It was awesome. She totally dressed down Dad right in front of me for jumping off the roof when he was a little kid.
That's hilarious. So you totally jumped off the roof, right?
Oh, yeah. Totally did. But I was more modern superhero. I did not have a cape.
You know what the most famous last words of anybody who dies are, right?
Hey, check
guys,
this out.
Watch hold
this.
My beer and watch this.
Yeah.
Hey guys, watch this.
Mm. Followed closely by hold my beer.
Oh, I know what he did wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yep.
That's always what we used to say where I grew up, was the leading cause of death where I grew up was hold my beer and watch this. And the second leading cause of death was, well, shoot, I know what he did wrong.
Yep. All right. Well, I want to talk about the future of the Mac Mini. Do you like that segue?
Are you sure? Because awesome? This is way more fun.
Oh, this is a lot more fun. But I know talking about the Mac Mini is going to be fun as well. And I
it
just
is.
Want to make sure
I have strong opinions.
So, John, you yesterday posited, was it yesterday or the day before?
Yes, it was yesterday.
For me. Okay, so so on Tuesday, you posited that Apple doesn't need to make a new Mac Mini specifically because they've got this covered, potentially. How do they have this covered?
Well, I've been wrestling for months about this idea of the 2019 Mac Pro being so darned expensive, and how the people who are migrating away from their Mac Pros of any vintage are faced with an unsatisfying prospect of going from a $2,500 computer to a maybe a $10,000 computer. And the Mac Mini, as it exists now, if it were updated, would fill that bill. But it looks like, despite Tim Cook's comments to a customer in 2017, it looks like we're not going to get a new Mac Mini. And I thought, mashing all these ideas together, I thought, well, what if the reason we haven't seen a new Mac Mini is because Apple is going to just do away with it and create a universal chassis into which we can put anything we'd like in the version of 2019 Mac Pro. On the low end, with a chassis and a power supply, a motherboard and a plug-in CPU and a modest graphics card, you would have the same machine as a Mac Mini. So why build both? On the high end, you could plug in a 4-terabyte SSD, 256 gig of RAM, and a multi-CPU card with multi-core Xeons, and the same chassis, or perhaps an expansion chassis, have a high-end Mac Pro that was very modular. And so people who wanted a simple, low-cost machine could buy this starter chassis, add some selected plug-in cards that would essentially duplicate the Mac Mini process. Something along the lines of Hewlett-Packard's Z2 Mini, which is an adorable, beautiful little computer that is very upgradable. And I don't know if the heat handling capacity of that would deal with a higher-end Mac, so you may need extra fans or extra chassis attached. But I got the idea that that's a nice way to solve the problem of creating another Mac Mini that would basically be a duplicate of the entry-level Mac Pro.
Well, allow me to inform you, John, that you probably ought to put your bell away, because I'm going to disagree with you on this. I think there's a problem with your fundamental theory. The reason we have the Mini in the first place, at least...
Wait a minute. Time for Kelly.
Okay.
Your turn.
So I think I like your approach, but I disagree. I think your approach is interesting. But what I remember when the Mac Pro was introduced, and when the Mac Pro was introduced, or Mac Mini was introduced. And when the Mini was introduced, the point of it was to be the switcher machine.
Right.
And so it was supposed to be competitively priced with other Windows machines at that time. And remember, it was bring your own keyboard, monitor, and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you pull that little beige nightmare out from under your desk and you put this in its place, and you can keep all your same stuff, but now you have a Mac. And isn't your life better as a result? And the idea of it was very, very smart. It was competitively priced. It did a lot for what it was. It was actually the first Intel machine from Apple. Like, other computers had done that, but this was the first new machine that was built entirely on an Intel processor. There was much wailing and gnashing of teeth at the time about Apple sort of switching teams and getting away from the G chips. And, going Intel just sounded ludicrous. And it turned out like that's exactly what they did. And the Mini was successful. And the Mini has always been a great auxiliary machine. It's like a MacBook Air, but for your desktop. So if you are primarily a laptop person, you have this beefy laptop, maximum RAM, Retina display. Maybe you've got a Touch Bar model now. If your daily driver is this laptop, sometimes it's nice if you have a computer at home to sort of take care of stuff for you. Maybe it runs a server for stuff that happens when you're not around.
Right.
The Mini is perfection for that. You take the Mini, you plug a little hard drive into it, and bam, Time Machine is at your fingertips easily across the network, because it's a piece of cake when you've got it plugged into the back of a Mini that sits in a closet that you don't ever have to do much with. It'll just hum along and sit there and be happy. And that, for me, it served two unbelievably useful purposes. The first of which was the switcher machine, which I still think Apple needs.
Now, nothing you're saying so far obviates my beautiful small chassis.
Well, no. That's the chassis is not the part that I disagree with.
Don't think ugly.
It's the wiring.
Think beautiful.
No, what I'm thinking is something along when I think of the machine that you're describing, what I think of in my brain is the ZFP stuff that we used to get back in the day. Gather around, kids. Granny's telling a story. In the olden days, when you had a one-piece machine that had a CRT monitor, you know, think of your classic Mac. You know, the Mac Classic, the SE, the SE30, things like that. That one piece, you know, with the little handle on the top. With that, and even there were companies that made them for the Mac Mini, made these ZFP drives, which were called zero footprint. And so really, it's basically like a stand. And it's the same width and height as whatever the computer is that you have, and you just set your computer on it. So you get this extra graphics card or this extra storage, if it was a hard drive that was like this. And it didn't take up any extra space on your desk. That was the point of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I think of, John, in what you're telling me about, is a similar thing. So let's say we keep the same design. We have a mini, and then under the mini, you can add a different little Lego block of stuff. Maybe you need it to be a killer graphics machine. So you get this, like, you know, a great big fan and a graphics card, and they live in this little thing under the computer. Or maybe you need...
Oh, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that.
You know, maybe you just need...
Stackable chassis.
Right. So
they're very beautiful,
you just sort of
stack them as needed, and then you get more slots.
Right. So you just Lego brick them together the way that you want. So maybe all you need is the graphics horsepower, you know, because you're doing a lot of video work. Or maybe you just need raw processing power because you're doing a lot of audio crunching, or you transcode things from one to another, whether it's audio files or video files, or you're just doing stuff that requires a lot of sheer calculation, not necessarily graphics horsepower. So you can slide in a beefier backup card, you know, and fan, obviously, and you put that on the bottom, you know, and it's always like too high or whatever. And I really like the idea of that. I think where Apple started steering away from that is when they started soldering RAM onto things, which is aggravating because one of the things that was always great about an Apple computer, particularly if you were someone on a tighter budget, was you could always open it up and swap out that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you could put more RAM in it. You could put a new hard drive in it, whether it was a bigger hard drive or, you know, in recent years, the change from platter drive to SSD. And having the option of being able to do that and getting another couple, 3, 4, 5 years out of that computer was what really added to the value and made it, in some cases, made it possible for people to continue to be Apple users, because
so
Apple computers aren't cheap.
Yeah.
And making it possible for as many people as possible to have them is important. And that's one of the things that I've complained about for ages, is the utter lack of upgradability in all machines, because there was no reason for the mini to have soldered RAM. Now, in a MacBook Air, where everything you're trying to do is make the machine thinner and lighter, I can at least understand it, even if I still don't agree, I can understand why that's a thing that you would do. But in a desktop machine, like, I don't need it to be portable, you guys. It's easy. You just let me pop out the 8s, and when 16s are cheaper, I can pop in 16s, and I can double the amount of RAM in my machine and be happy.
Mm-hmm. Or, I think Apple's moving back to that. I think the comments
I want
Schiller
that to be
made,
true.
Phil Schiller has made since the 2013 Mac Pro suggests to me that Apple's taking its time and really rethinking the next Mac Pro.
Well, and doing those things, like doing that makes me feel like the mini is a disposable machine, and the kind of people who are going to be new to the Mac are going to want to maximize the amount of life that they get out of this computer. People who want them in backup are going to be the same way, and I want that. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm more concerned about Apple's philosophy moving forward on this machine than I am what it looks like, how it functions, what they're going to let us do with it, what kind of trim package you can get. You know, like, is it going to come with the Rust undercoating? Is it going to come with navigation? You know, that matters a little less to me than why are they doing it the way that they're doing it? Because I think if the approach has changed, it may not be changing for the better.
All right. So there's more that I want to talk about, but I'm going to wrap this up by saying I love how both of you came into this from different angles. And in the end, I think we have a really great business strategy for Apple. Give us a modular computer. You can start it off as a mini and build it into a pro if you want. I love that. All right. And like I said, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And why I'm glad that they are a sponsor this week is because the whole job market isn't just about people trying to find a job. It's about being the person that has to find someone to fill a job. And that's what LinkedIn Jobs is going to do for you. So we know that 70% of the workforce in the United States is already on LinkedIn. And it turns out that 22 million people are viewing and applying for different jobs through LinkedIn every single week. So that's a huge number of people that are out there trying to find jobs and trying to fill jobs. And so LinkedIn Jobs makes that easier for you. So you put your job posting up and then just wait for the qualified people to apply, and you're more likely to get qualified applicants through LinkedIn, because the people that are there are the people that are seriously qualified and looking for the right jobs. So here's what you can do. If you're on the hunt for new employees, you can use LinkedIn Jobs and you can get a deal on it. So go to linkedin.com/TDO and get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO for your $50 credit today. And terms and conditions do apply. And head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, get that $50 off on that first job posting, and find the right person to fill that job that you need taken care of. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about real quick before we wrap up, actually, Kelly, you wanted to talk about this. You were interested in some of the interviews that I did at AltConf and Worldwide Developers Conference.
I was, and part of why I was interested in them was because, first of all, I think you do a really great job of interviewing people like live on the show floor with all the stuff that happens around you, with people walking through. I watched a couple of the interviews where people weren't really aware, like, oh.
And some where they were.
And some where they were and did it anyhow, sure.
And didn't care. But also because I like that you talk to people about more than just the thing, whether it's the new app they're doing or, you know, something that they're working on. You do get a little other stuff in there as well. And it really makes me happy to see that kind of stuff, because I think that it sort of helps diminish the stereotype that, like, nerds are all computers all the time. I mean, some people are, but a lot of people aren't. Like, everyone I know has some other thing that they do instead. And I really like that you make an effort to bring that out in people. So watching those interviews is always really interesting to me.
Thanks.
Also, you interviewed some very interesting people. So that was the other thing that I wanted to
All right. Well, I'm curious.
Point out.
Who did you... Or who stood out as the interesting people for you?
Well, full disclosure, I am absolutely 100% biased on this one, but Gray Osten, because Gray is a dear friend of mine who is terribly interesting. And I am excited to have you interview Gray because he's super, first of all, he's super great. Mm-hmm. And second of all, because it's not his comfort zone. It's not his jam the way it is yours and mine. And when he started talking about, like, wanting to be a little more visible and do a little more stuff, Gray works on App Camp for Girls with Me, and wanting to do a little bit more stuff for App Camp and be a little more public, you know, a little more public facing person, you know, that talks about camp. You were one of the first people to say, okay, let's talk about it. And you've interviewed Gray more than once. Mm-hmm. And so it's always interesting to me to see you and Gray have a conversation, whatever that is.
Gray is so much fun.
Yes. And so it's always, so I'm always pleased to see that. I also really enjoyed your interview with Amanda Southworth. which was not the first interview I saw with her at DubDub, which is part of why I was very interested to see what you two would end up talking about. Those were two that were interesting and ish.
That my interview with Amanda was different from other people's.
Well, I saw her interviewed on a YouTube channel where she was interviewed with Gray, which is how I knew anything about what she was up to. And she was very, I think what she's doing is very interesting. And so I liked getting to see that it was getting a little bit more publicity. And I also liked your interview with Ish. I thought that was a lot of fun.
I love talking with Ish. He is just so much fun. He's so cool. For me, this is like if someone says to a parent, which of your child is your favorite?
Yes.
They're all my favorite. And I loved every interview. I loved the stories that everyone was telling me. And getting to talk to Ish again was so much fun. I mean, he is so smart. And you ask him something, and you know you're going to get an interesting answer.
Yeah, even just like, what did you have for lunch? You know, like, you're always going to get something interesting when you sit and talk to him. He's an interesting guy.
He is, yes. All right, so we are out of time, but I'm going to give everyone a little bit of behind the scenes. So for all of these interviews, except one, I was able to do them at AltConf, which is awesome. You know, so thank you, AltConf, for letting me take over part of your space to interview people. But to get the timing to work with Amanda was really difficult, just, you know, because everything is just packed so tight. So what ended up happening was, I got up the morning that I was leaving to fly back home and took all of my stuff that I needed to do an interview down to the hotel lobby, set it up in the hotel lobby. Amanda shows up. We do the interview. I break everything down. She runs off to her breakfast appointment. I run upstairs and pack so that I can run back downstairs, check out, and hop in to Brian's car because Brian Chaffin is nice enough to give me a ride to the airport, and then get over to the airport so I could fly home. It was just awesome. And when Amanda walked in and I'm sitting up in the lobby, she just rolled with it. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow.
Before we wrap up, John, did you have a favorite of the ones that you saw?
I've seen a smattering. I liked Don McAllister.
Yes.
That was great. I liked the smile. So I'm still catching up on the rest.
What I enjoyed, I enjoyed stuff about every one of these. I mean, with Gray, I just loved that.
I liked Gray Austin.
Yeah, when Gray and I start talking, it just feels very natural. And it's like it's like two friends sitting down and picking up a conversation. And really, that's what it is with Gray, and then with Dawn, I've never actually interviewed Dawn before this year, even though we've done so many shows together, we've been on panels together, so it was fun just to put Dawn on that side of the microphone.
He's been on background mode too.
Yeah, Dawn's so cool. And then with Smile, it was fun to put together a group of people and figure out how to make that work with a lav mic. And we did it, and it was so much fun. And that was like reminiscing about just all these wonderful memories that we all had. So they were all fun interviews. All right. Well, we really are done. You know what? I'm going to make sure there's links to all the interviews that you guys mentioned, so everyone can go check them out. Those will be in the show notes. And we're out of time. So, John, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Two bells means I think Kelly's great.
That's so sweet. Because you are great. Kelly, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And John, it's a joy every week when I get to roll in and disagree with you.
Frumpwoggle.
I just love John's new nerf herder term or whatever. anyhow, it's great to have both of you here. I'm so glad that LinkedIn Jobs is our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, and get a $50 credit for your first job post, and find that perfect employee. Everyone will be happy. And listeners, I am so glad that you are here. Thank you for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.